I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. How concerned should we be about the coronavirus? Late last week, the World Health Organization declared the outbreak a global emergency after cases were discovered in more than a dozen countries, including a handful here in the U.S., but none so far in the state of Kentucky. What you need to know about coronavirus on this week's edition of Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine. Dr. Greg recently got a crash course on the coronavirus from his colleague, Dr. Vineet Arora, a faculty member in the Department of Pathology and Laboratory Medicine at UK Healthcare.
At this point, CDC says that the rate of infection or the risk of infection for our public is low. And primary reason is that travel is the highest risk factor, and not too many people would have traveled to Wuhan during the time when this infection is being spread there. So at this point, the risk is low, but the basic means of preventing any respiratory infection are what hold true for this new coronavirus as well. Washing of hands thoroughly for up to 20 seconds, and making sure if you're sneezing or coughing, cover it up. And if you're uncomfortable, or if you're going to a healthcare facility where they might already have some restrictions in place because it is flu season. Mm-hmm. So for us, flu would be a bigger risk at this point. But the means of preventing infection remain the same for any respiratory infection. So although it is big in news at this point, and it is evolving on a daily basis, so over time we'll find out whether there are any changes, any change in risk factors, and when are the chances that person might be able to spread or get the disease. But at this point, I don't see a need to panic, but basic prevention methods are always applicable.
And I think that's something that we return to on the show a lot is on the one hand, we have very advanced technology to diagnose and to treat medical illness, and yet we come back again and again to just basic prevention. And you mentioned one thing that I know many scientists have been talking about, and that is simply just the act of washing your hands thoroughly can do a lot during the flu season, the cough and cold season, and also potentially if we do find cases of the coronavirus in Kentucky.
I agree completely with this. The basic means of prevention stay the same, irrespective of which respiratory disease it is. And if we pay attention to our hand hygiene, make sure we keep washing our hands, cover ourselves up when we are sneezing or coughing, and if we are amongst patients or amongst people who are low on immunity, who are immunocompromised, it is a good idea to use masks if they, although the face masks will not prevent these coronavirus type of agents to transmit, but they do help minimize the risk. So using masks is a good idea, and most of the healthcare facilities do have that requirement, especially during the flu season when the transmission rate is high when you're visiting hospitals.
One of the things I love about pathology and laboratory medicine is you and I are both members of the same department, and yet we do very, very different things. So forgive me if I ask some very basic questions, but the coronavirus, is it related to the usual cough and cold viruses, rhinonasal type stuff?
Absolutely. So going back a little bit in history, so coronaviruses are RNA viruses, and these are probably one of the most common cause of nasal discharge and cough and sore throat. Over the course of a year, if we look at the cumulative numbers, then coronaviruses and rhinoviruses are probably the most common causes of common cold. And these viruses have been there for a long, long time. Several thousands of years ago, they came from probably bats and birds, and then transmitted through various different animals, and then finally became home to human beings several hundreds of years ago. And there are a few viruses which are prevalent all throughout the world. and they are typically known as human coronaviruses. But this novel coronavirus that we are talking about now, that is not related directly to human coronavirus. It has probably come from some other lineage, from an animal coronavirus source. And there are several different kinds which are out there. We still are not sure where exactly it started. But as a general rule, coronaviruses are one of the most common causes of common cold. Mm-hmm. So we have them all year round. We see cases. Generally, they are mild illnesses, and then they go away. And being RNA viruses, they can change themselves very quickly. So since they are not deadly, not much effort has gone into developing vaccines for these, but that is different for a virus which would have higher potential of killing people, which happened in the case of SARS, mm-hmm. and that is another coronavirus, which is severe acute respiratory virus, which emerged in 2004-2005 and had around 10% case fatality.
Mostly in Canada and China. And
so it started in China, mm-hmm. and then there were people who traveled to other places and had some limited outbreaks other places, but very mm-hmm. few outside of China. And similar methods of controlling were applied at that time. And after 2004, it hasn't come back. Mm-hmm. But there was another coronavirus called the Middle Eastern respiratory virus, MERS-CoV, which happened in the Arabian Peninsula, and that has come and gone. The most recent one was 2015 in South Korea. There was a traveler from the Arabian Peninsula, and that led on to an outbreak there. But other than that, there haven't been any outbreaks of these high virulence coronaviruses. So this is the third one that has come out, other than the routine run-of-the-mill coronaviruses that we have seen for a long, long time.
Dr. Arora, are there any other aspects that we haven't touched on that you would want our listeners to know about the coronavirus?
Well, I would say as far as detection of coronavirus is concerned, in the clinical microbiology setting, just like we have at the University of Kentucky in our clinical microbiology lab, there are several platforms where we can test for respiratory viruses, and they include the human coronaviruses. At this point, they just detect the ones which are commonly prevalent in humans, but do not include the novel coronavirus, which has started in Wuhan province. As time proceeds, CDC, the way it is done for any emerging pathogen is CDC comes up with newer testing methodologies, and which they have already done for this novel virus based on the sequences that they have found from the Chinese researchers. That's the big change in this new era, where as soon as this virus was identified, the sequences were uploaded onto the cloud, the web, and any researcher from any part of the world can just download it and then start working on the sequences and look for developing testing platforms, look for development of vaccines based on protein expressions. So that is already underway, where CDC has developed their own test, and over time they'll provide it to the state public health labs, and also there are manufacturers who have started working on developing the testing methodologies, and in the coming weeks we'll see many of these emerge, and then if there is a need, then we will have places to test it. At this point, we are more dependent on the clinical people and the clinicians who will be able to detect or suspect a case based on their travel history or their symptomatology.
My thanks today to Dr. Vineet Arora, my friend and colleague at UK's Department of Pathology and Laboratory Medicine, for talking with us about coronavirus. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.